in all. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 10th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League, the top international club football competition. The one-off knockout matches will be played Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, with all four games in Lisbon, Portugal. Prince Nesta joins us now for a look back at the weekend round of 16 UEFA Champions League matches. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Manchester City took advantage of two shocking mistakes by Rafael Varane to beat Real Madrid 2-1 in the Champions League last 16 second leg and advanced to the quarterfinals as Pep Guardiola came out on top in his duel with Zinedine Zidane.
You know, so there are still many, many, many incredible teams in course, but the important first step for us, for our confidence, for this year, for the future, we beat Real Madrid. It's an incredible for us, you know. But at the end, it's last 16. We have still three games. We're going to Portugal to enjoy in the country from Joan Bernardo, stay there, eat well, be together, laugh a lot, work a lot, and arrive in the best moment to, you know, to play against Olympique Lyon and try to achieve for the second time in the history of the Champions, the semifinal of the Champions League. So the best success in this competition was one semifinal. So that's why you have to be so calm, so there, and we will see what happens.
Varane was dispossessed inside the box in the ninth minute, allowing Raheem Sterling to put City ahead, and his poor-headed back-pass attempt gifted Gabriel Jesus another goal midway through the second half.
This competition punish you, we know for our own experience, but I think Gabriel make his contribution to this is the best guy making this kind of actions for the intuition, for the aggressivity. And I think Gabriel was man of these two games. He scored in Madrid, he provoked the penalty, and today make the assist the first and score a goal. He was so decisive for us, being helped for the, of course, whole team, the way we fought and we suffer in the bad moments.
Before that second goal, the tie had been in the balance, with the infirm French striker of Algerian descent Karim Benzema having scored for the visitors just before the half-hour mark. Manchester City will take on Lyon, which lost 2-1 in Turin against Juventus, but won the two-leg total goal series on their away goal tiebreaker after 1-0 triumph in the opener 5 months ago. Five-time Ballon d'Or champion Cristiano Ronaldo stood with a brace, while Memphis Depay scored the all-important away goal in the 13th minute of the encounter via penalty, which also broke the deadlock and proved to be the most important goal in both the legs combined. With the brace, Ronaldo added another feather to his crown by breaking a long-standing 95-year-old record. Ronaldo finishes the season with most goals in a single campaign for Juventus with 37. Bayern Munich will meet Barcelona in the Champions League quarterfinals after Robert Lewandowski inspired them to a crushing 7-1 aggregate win over Chelsea, having established a commanding 3-0 first leg lead at Stamford Bridge back in February. Bayern quickly made it 5-0 on aggregate when Lewandowski from the penalty spot and Ivan Perisic scored inside 25 minutes at the Lyon's arena. Chelsea pulled a goal back through English footballer of Nigerian descent Tammy Abraham after a rare mistake by keeper Manuel Neuer, but Bayern's class shone through. Substitute Corentin Tolisso made it 6-1 on aggregate when he volleyed home and marked inside the 6-yard area before Poland forward Lewandowski, who now has 53 goals in 44 appearances in all competition this season, headed the fourth to finish the match with 2 goals and 2 assists. Here's Chelsea manager Frank Lampard's response when asked if the Blues got called early on in their Champions League loss to Bayern Munich.
Yeah, we did, with the 2 goals in the first parts of the game, which is obviously disappointing, but I want to focus on the fact and the resilience of and the performance levels of a lot of players in the team. I think if you, it's a good exercise for us today to look at a team like Bayern Munich and the Champions League experience they have in their ranks, hundreds of appearances through their team, and we had, you know, young players, debut seasons, Reece James going toe to toe with top players. With an incredible individual performance and some others within that. And I can see where I want us to go. I think for the good and the bad. You know, we competed well in the game, we get to 2-1, we then make the most of a couple of half chances and then we concede disappointing goals, which are individual errors on the pitch. So it was an interesting game. I thought there were a lot of good. We're disappointing to lose, but we'll be back.
Bayern will now face Barca in a mouth-watering one-game knockout format in Lisbon after the Blaugrana overcame Napoli 3-1 on a night of high VAR drama at the Nou Camp. The hosts scored three times through Clement Lenglet, Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez in an incident-packed first half, during which Messi was also denied a second for handball. With the tie evenly poised at 1-1 after February's first leg, Messi produced a messy run and sublime finish to double his side's lead on the night following Lenglet's headed opener. The Argentine had a possible second disallowed by VAR for a handball, but was later awarded a penalty by the video referee after being brought down by Senegalese centre-back Kalidou Koulibaly, allowing Luis Suarez to step up to make it 3-0 on the night. The Bavarians will be on an 18-game winning streak across all competition as they head into next week's Final 8 tournament in Lisbon. Manchester United will take on Denmark best outfit Copenhagen in the Europa League quarterfinals on Monday in what is their final chance of claiming silverware this season. The Red Devils head into the fixture in high spirits, having dispatched LASK courtesy a 7-1 aggregate victory. The Red Devils also managed to secure third place in the Premier League, courtesy of a fantastic second half of the season. The two teams have only met twice in the 2006-2007 Champions League group stages, in which the Red Devils won 3-0 at Old Trafford before losing 1-0 in Copenhagen. Manchester United are looking to reach only their second European semi-final since Sir Alex Ferguson's retirement in 2013, doing so in the 2016-2017 season, when they went on to win the Europa League under Jose Mourinho. The winners of this tie will face Wolves or Sevilla in the semi-finals on Sunday, 16th August in Cologne, with the final at the same venue 5 days later. Inter Milan will also face Bayern Leverkusen on Monday night in a battle between two of the competition's favorites. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
Dear respected friends, sports greetings. This is Milutin Mitro-Sredovic, coach of Zambia national football team Chipolo Polo and former national coach of Uganda Cranes. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Now let's go to San Francisco, California, where a young American golfer has won his first major title at the PGA Championship. The AP's Graham Agars reports.
23-year-old California native Colin Morikawa has broken out of a 7-way tie for the lead to win the PGA Championship at Harding Park in San Francisco. Morikawa pulled clear of the logjam on top of the leaderboard with a chip-in birdie at the 14th and then made a stunning eagle two at the par 4 16th to seal the win.
When I woke up today, I was like, you know, this is meant to be. This is where I feel very comfortable. This is where I want to be. And I'm not scared from it. I think if I was scared from it, the last few holes would have been a little different.
His final round 6-under 64 lifted him to 13-under, in the end two clear of Dustin Johnson and Paul Casey. I'm Graham Agars.
Thanks, Graham. Still here in the USA, the Mid-American Conference has become the first league at college football's highest level to cancel its fall season because of the coronavirus pandemic. The AP's Julie Walker reports.
MAC Commissioner John Steinbrecher says, well, it's a bitter decision with college athletes having such a limited window to play at this level, it's the right decision.
I am heartbroken we are in this place. However, I take comfort and I want to give assurance to our student athletes, coaches, and fans that we will make every effort to provide competitive opportunities in the spring.
The conference that built the brand name Maction and managed to score an ESPN deal by playing football games on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights is now the first to surrender to the coronavirus pandemic. And it's not just football. The Mid-American Conference's 12 schools are canceling all fall sports. I'm Julie Walker.
Hi, everyone. It's Taco Fall. I just wanted to say that now's the time to practice kindness and empathy towards everyone around you. We all doing our best to get through this together, so make sure you do your part. Grab a book, read it to your nieces and nephews and video chat, make a donation of canned goods to your local food bank, or even add some items to your shopping cart for your elderly neighbors. But most importantly, don't forget to just pick up the phone and call somebody and check in. That may mean a lot. You never know. We all can be next to each other right now, but we still can show how much we care about one another. So visit NBAtogether.com and join us in inspiring acts of caring. Thank you.
Thank you, Taco. That's Taco Fall, the Senegalese center for the Boston Celtics. The Nigeria Basketball Federation is mourning the death of 27-year-old Michael Ojo, who died Friday after suffering a heart attack during a practice in Serbia. According to Eurohoops.net, Ojo was having an individual practice with the Belgrade-based club Partizan when he collapsed while running. Ojo was born in Lagos, Nigeria's commercial capital. He played four seasons of college basketball for Florida State University here in the USA before turning professional and playing for two Belgrade teams. For reaction to Michael Ojo's death, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted board member and media officer of the Nigeria Basketball Federation, Oni Afolabi.
The death of Michael Ojo, which happened on Friday, actually left the Nigerian Basketball Federation sad. The fans are sad, stakeholders are sad. The reactions have been of shock and then of sadness. It's really sad that, you know, a young guy, just 27 years of age, who was doing his thing and then rising consistently in the game of basketball, we just drop dead without any warning, without any prior signal. It breaks our heart coming at such a time that we also lost a FIBA badge referee about 2 weeks ago in the person of Razak Okedeji, you know, who died 2 weeks ago in such a funny circumstance too, you know, just developed headache and before he could get to the hospital, he was pronounced dead. We pray that these things won't happen again in Nigerian basketball circle. But be that as it may, looking at Ojo and what he stood for, I think he would have been somebody that would have come in and added something to the national team. The last time we went for the Olympic qualifiers in Serbia, the technical committee led by the VP of the federation in the person of Babs Ogunade met with him, you know, and then sat down with him and they spoke about the future, and even Ogunade even watched one of his games just to be able to assess where he was and how useful he could be for the national team. But death has played a fast one on us. We are very sad about this.
What's the assessment of Michael Ojo when he was invited to the Tigers camp for the FIBA World Cup, though he didn't make the team?
He was invited in 2011 when we were preparing for the FIBA Afrobasket. Then he was so young, you know, probably at the age of 18, already having an opportunity to try out for the national team, the men's senior national team, you know. When he came around, when I spoke with the then team manager, who is now a board member of Nigerian Basketball Federation, the person of Issa Umar, he described him as a cool-headed guy. He described him as a true nationalist. He described him as a true Nigerian who was ready to sacrifice everything for the nation. And then with everything that we've been reading of recent, we saw that he was a Nigerian true and true. And apart from being a nationalist, he was also a talented basketball player who showed that despite his young age, he had a very large heart to be one of the players for Nigeria. But sadly, education and then his professional career didn't allow him to at any point play it. In 2011, he got invited, like I said earlier, but he couldn't make the final roster. But nevertheless, he didn't take anything away from the fact that he was talented, and then he was a cool and calm young man who was ready to do his best for the country.
Is the Nigerian Basketball Federation in regular contact with players, especially those abroad, during this COVID-19 era?
Yeah, we are in touch with the players outside the country. We are in touch with also the players in the country, you know, players playing in the domestic scene and also on the international stage, you know, through the head coach, the assistant coaches, the technical committee of the federation, and also the board itself. It's been a period where we needed to rally around, you know, so that everybody can pull through this difficult COVID-19 era. So mails, phone calls, WhatsApp messages, and other avenues, we are on top of the situations. And then as soon as international basketball resumes, I think we'll be able to hit the ground running.
That's Oni Afolabi, board member and media officer of the Nigeria Basketball Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporting greetings. My name is Oni Afolabi, a board member of Nigerian Basketball Federation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sport on the Voice of America.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, Bam, D.C.
A message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, the first South African to win a Premier Class World Championship motorcycle race. Samson Omale will have that story and more African sports news.
Brad Binda stomped to victory in Sunday's Czech MotoGP to become the first South African to win a MotoGP race. The 24-year-old South African piled the pressure on race leader for some while before overtaking him with 10 laps to go. Binda's win came in just his fourth race, and he termed it a dream come true. And now to athletics, where Kenya's Olympic and World 3000 meters steeplechase champion Conseslus Kipruto has tested positive for coronavirus and will miss the season opening Diamond League meeting in Monaco on Friday. The 25-year-old Kipruto said he was in great shape ahead of the event and hoped to break the record, which is currently held by Kenyan-born Qatari Saif Said Shaheen. The Monaco Diamond League meeting will be followed by events in Stockholm, Lausanne, Brussels, Rome, Naples, Doha, and a yet-to-be-determined location in China. Staying with athletics, Olympic marathon champion and world record holder Eliud Kipchoge wants the government to consider reopening a few athletics training camps to enable him to train effectively for October 4 London Marathon. He said it is high time he joined his training partners in camp in a bid to gauge his strength ahead of the London Marathon. Asked if Kenenisa Bekele will be a threat after coming close to his marathon record in Berlin last year, Kipchoge said he was looking beyond the Ethiopian. In basketball news, Union Monastery of Tunisia at the weekend defended their Tunisian league title thanks to an 82-77 win against Etoile Sportive Raids in game 2 of the finals. It was a do-or-die game for host Etoile Sportive Raids, who lost 89-69 in last last Wednesday's Game 1 in Monastir. The Monastir-based team not only closed the final series, but they also won the Tunisian League title for the second time in a row, having upset a tall Sporting Reds at last year's finals.
Sporting greetings. This is Emmanuel Amuneke, former Nigerian player, former Tanzanian coach. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Many thanks. Remain blessed and stay safe. God bless you.
And now to some football news. Former Super Eagles coach Joe Bonfrey has admitted he's yet to receive his Olympic gold medal, 24 years after leading the Nigerian Under-23 Dream Team to gold in Atlanta. Joe Bonfrey said he was not given a medal because the provision was not made for him, which he didn't take lightly. Joe Bonfrey became Nigeria's coach in 1995 and after his Olympic exploits in 1996, moved to become the coach of Qatar, followed by United Arab Emirates club Al-Wahda before returning to Nigeria for the second time. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscast. Every hour, on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.
Thanks, Lori. That's my VOA colleague, Lori London. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Just ahead, Douglas Mpuga will have more African sports news for us.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, Emergency Committee has approved the revised calendar for the inter-clubs competitions, which was affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. For the Confederation Cup 2019-2020 semifinals, Pyramids of Egypt will play Horoya of Guinea on September 22nd at Mohammed V Complex in Casablanca, Morocco. On the same day, RS Bakene of Morocco will take on Hussa Morocco at Prince Abdallah Stadium in Rabat. The final is scheduled for September 27th at Prince Abdallah Stadium in Rabat. All matches will be played behind closed doors. For the CAF Champions League, due to the withdrawal of Cameroon Football Federation from hosting the Final Four and in line with the principle of fairness, it was decided against hosting a Final Four in either Egypt or Morocco, whose teams constitute the semifinals. So the semifinal matches will be played on a home and away basis. The first leg matches will be played on September 25th and 26th in Morocco. Second leg matches are to be played on October 2nd and 3rd in Egypt. The final of the CAF Champions League will be played at a neutral venue. In the event, a team from Egypt or Morocco qualify from the semifinals. As a result, the bidding process has been opened to member associations, excluding Egypt and Morocco, for the hosting of a one-off final. The final is scheduled for October 16th or 17th. And the 2020 London Marathon will involve only elite athletes, with 45,000 mass event runners unable to take part because of coronavirus concerns. The much-anticipated contest between Kenyan Eliud Kipchoge and Ethiopian Kenenisa Bekele will take place on a biosecure closed course. Reduced fields of 30 to 40 athletes will also compete for the elite women's and wheelchair titles on October 4th. The 2021 race, meanwhile, will be on October 3rd rather than a date in April. The calendar shift from the traditional date is meant to minimize the chances of all runners being able to take part in next year's race.
Thanks, Douglas. That's Douglas Mpuga. And that wraps up the August 10th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.